welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely wonderful day today. It's a fabulous Friday down here in Florida. Health Masters, we're staying busy as always, getting you guys your highest quality supplements right out to you as quickly as possible. Thank you for all your support. We've gotten a lot of emails this week. We've been responding to a lot of people talking about different stuff on the shows. Thank you for that. And again, a lot of people have been sending me different articles as well to look at. Thank you again for that. We really, really appreciate everything. And also, too, I will be on the Hagman Report tonight by myself. Dad's service is in and out right now, so I'll be doing the whole show again. Got a lot of different stuff to talk about, so it's going to be a great show as always. So you're going to want to stay tuned into that. And we also, too, I think we're going to be doing a Memorial Day sale, so be sure to listen to that show because we're going to have a coupon code once we get everything together, and we should be airing it on the Hagman Report tonight for the Memorial Day weekend sale. So be sure to check that out. And other than that, how are you doing today, Dad?
I'm doing great, Austin. I believe we're also going to be sending an email out on the sale, too, for the folks who don't get the report for Hagman.
Absolutely, yes. Everybody, and that's why I've encouraged all of our listeners, all of our customers, all of our supporters to sign up for our free weekly newsletter. A lot of people send me emails sometimes, and they go, well, how do I find out about this? How do I find out about deals? How do I find out about this? Our free weekly newsletter. We do it for free, guys. There's no gimmick to it. There's no money to it. We don't sell anything. And let me make sure I clarify that. We do not ever sell your information to any third-party customers. Period. Ever. End of story. Our email database that we have is housed as far as with a private email company. We do not allow any of those emails to be harvested, nor do we sell any of those emails to any third-party consumers. A lot of controversy has been coming out now of social media outlets and other app outlets that sell all of your information, not just your email, your date of birth, what you like, your favorite color, what ice cream you eat, everything about you, it's being sold on a regular basis. So be very careful about the information that you put out there, especially to companies if you do not trust them. But your email, when you get it from us, it's completely sealed, it's safe. We send you specials, emails, promos, all the different research that we do and different articles that we write out on the free weekly newsletter. That's what we do with that, Dad.
You know, it's funny you say that, Austin, because a lot of the other health people out there sell their information to other people. I get so fed up with it because I get all these emails all the time because I have a certain newsletter I signed up for. And then sure enough, when you look at the doggone disclaimer that you have to when you sign up for their newsletters, they tell you that they're going to sell all your information. We don't do that at Health Masters. We don't do that. I mean, I can't stand when people do that with my stuff, and I'm not going to do that with your stuff. And by the way, got a letter in from Donald. He's a great guy. He came by the house here a few years ago and spent some time with him. He says, Brother Ted, every day you thank us for your support of Health Masters and the show, but I cannot express with words how much you help us with all the news and health information. I read a lot of the articles on my sources, and then you basically will bring them up on the show. I really like yours and Austin's interpretation of the information presented. It sometimes gives me a different understanding from your perspective. It would be nice to be able to sit on your back porch, again, as I did several years ago, and just talk and share stories about how are things in our family. I feel I know you all as family, even though we only have conversed on email now. Thanks for your friendship and support to me, and I'm sure for other listeners who feel the same. Your brother in Christ, Don. See, this is the kind of stuff that I get from you guys that I love. Now, what's frustrating, a lot of people, you know, pull on me and pull on me and pull on me, and you know, and I try to do as many phone calls as I can, and I try to call people back as much as I can, but a lot of times I don't have time just to chit chat. And I mean, so don't get mad at me if I can't chit chat. I mean, if you have an emergency and you say, hey, Ted, I have an emergency, I need to talk to you, I'm going to pick up the telephone to call you right now. You guys have tested me on this. You know I'm telling you the truth. If you've got my email address and you call me up, you say, I have an emergency, I need to talk to you, you're a Health Masters customer, you're a show listener, and you know, I call you right back. Now, if it's some kind of medical thing that needs to be a 911 address issue, I can't help you with that. Or if it has to do with certain types of protocols, I can't help you with that. But if I have the ability to help you, I'm going to call you back immediately. Yesterday, Austin, I had a friend of mine. His name is John, and I actually knew him. I've known him for over 40 years. When I was going to college in Winter Haven, Florida, back in the early 70s, he was a friend of mine. He and I worked out together, and they found his son unresponsive on the side of the road the other day. His son's like in his 40s, and his son's been a doper his entire life, and basically a drunken alcoholic, a doper, and now he's got brain cancer, lung cancer. And apparently it looked like somebody had a big knot on his head. It looked like somebody knocked him out, stole his vehicle. They can't find the car, and took off with the vehicle and left him laying on the side of the road. But they called 911, and so he's in such bad shape they put him in a hospice. I mean, we're talking to die. And it's sad to me, and I called John up, and he was crying last night, and I said, I'm so sorry this has happened. And guys, here's the thing. You know, we all have to think about our kids. And let me explain something to everybody here. You're not responsible in most cases how your kids turn out. If you were using drugs and giving them drugs and all that kind of stuff, I'm not talking about that. If you've encouraged them to do things illegally, yeah, you're pretty much responsible for it. But if you've led a good life and done everything you can to try to support your children and to teach them the right way and to live with understanding and love of God and the fear of the Lord and all the things in your life that you should show them and emulate to them, at that point, you know, if they do something stupid, it's not your fault. They have freedom of will, just like you have freedom of will, especially when they reach the age of 13, 14, 15, 16. Now, if you've got a 6 or 7 year old that's out of control, there's a really good program you can order. It's called Get Growing Kids God's Way. We took that course, Sharon and I did. We had the little ones, and it makes a huge difference as far as teaching the children first-time obedience and a lot of other things. And I always tell my kids, look, you guys didn't come with an instruction manual. I mean, I don't know what to say to you guys. I mean, you know, you do this wrong or you do that wrong. We do our best to try to correct it, but it's your choice. My 18-year-old and I were having a talk the other day, and she was arguing with me about something. And I finally told her, I said, here's the thing. You're 18. I'm not responsible for you anymore. I said, you know, you could do what you want to do. You can go where you want to go, live how you want to live. I'm helping you get through college. And if I feel you're making poor decisions doing these things, I just want to help you get through college. You can just figure it out on your own. I said, it's okay. You're 18. Do what you want. You see, and this is the thing we have to realize is that everybody has freedom of will. Can you imagine how frustrated God is, Austin, that parents, you know, because he had Adam and Eve. They both went sideways. He built Adam and Eve, gave them freedom of will, and they both went sideways. I mean, think about that for a second. I mean, this is the God of the universe who created everything. So it's very important that we don't blame ourselves for how our kids turn out as long as we did everything we needed to do when they were young. So important. Oh, by the way, just get back on the news. Finally, the UK minister, Theresa May, do-nothing Rothschild appointee, announces resignation after three-year Brexit failure. You know, this is so crazy here because, Austin, they're still in Brexit. They're still, you know, in the EU. They're still tied into it. They didn't get out because she quit. Now they're going to start this whole thing up all over again with somebody else coming in. They have no intentions on pulling England out of the EU. They want the unbridled immigration coming in here. I mean, it's just smoke and mirrors. I'm looking at the highlight stories here on Breitbart, you know, and goes, Pelosi's going, I'm concerned for Trump's well-being. And all of this stuff, Trump signs order cracking down on welfare-dependent legal immigration. Okay, he's talking about legal immigration, 1.5 million people who come into this country legally every year. They can't come in on welfare now. He's not talking about the millions that are coming in on welfare. I mean, it's all smoke and mirrors. And I look at it, and I start laughing, and I'm like, gosh, this is like watching a doggone circus show. It's like the American reality show, American political reality show. And I go, wow, who in the world is controlling this narrative? Who's doing all of this? And, of course, we all know who's doing this. Same guys who crucified Jesus Christ, their great-great-great-granddaddies. It's the same group, same demonically possessed groups. So it's frustrating to me to have to read this stuff and know that it's just all smoke and mirrors, Austin. What do you think?
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, when you see a lot of this stuff, I mean, you have to really understand what's going on. That's why we talk about this in the show all the time, is that the mainstream media, its primary objective is pushing whatever the mainstream narrative propaganda is from the bankers that control all of this. They continually tell you things to keep you focused on other things as a distraction. The whole political divide we have seen with the Trump election, and again, I've always said before, I've always supported Trump as far as I voted for him. I think he had a lot of potential and a lot of stuff he's still trying to do personally. I think there's a lot of stuff he would like to do. I think the giant swamp that he is infested in and the doggone up there in Washington is so beyond our level of comprehension. I do believe that on how corrupt and how sick and how perverted it is up there. And there's no question about that. And so seeing what all goes on up there, I mean, I watched a short little video yesterday. Pelosi was doing an interview about a infrastructure deal, and it was so bizarre, guys. She just started babbling. I mean, babbling, like almost incoherently. I'm just, well, yeah, we're going to do an infrastructure deal, and it's going to create roads and bridges, and we're going to have an infrastructure deal, and it's going to do things. I'm just babbling, like no coherent thought. And then you see the guy on the right side of her that's right beside her, and you see him in two instances, and they're real discreetly, you hear him say a word like infrastructure, green deal, infrastructure deal. Like he's trying to keep her going. Now, whether or not she was drunk, we know that her last bill via taxpayer funding just on her private jet flights, I think what they say, she spent, what, $40,000 a year just on alcohol during her flights, roughly. So whether she was drunk, I don't know. She obviously consumes a lot of alcohol to get a bar tab that high. Or she is on some type of medication, or she's just a full-blown sock puppet for Lucifer. I don't know. It's all speculation. But when I saw the video, it reminded me so much of Hillary Clinton a couple years ago when we saw her doing the exact same thing, where she would sit there and she'd just start babbling, just babbling. Or that one incident where those people let off the balloons and she's got this wide-eyed, insanely weird-looking, sadistic look on her face, and she's like, oh, and you're like, whoa, what is that? It's like some demon's about to crawl out of her face, like an alien's gonna split open and come out, and you're like, ah, I don't even want to watch this. That's how they look half the time. It's weird. So best believe there's some weird stuff going on up there right now. Very strange stuff. So you have to understand a lot of this political nature stuff is all fodder to keep everybody occupied with what is going on in the media and not what is really going on. For instance, this has gotten like zero media attention. I wanted to bring it up again for that reason. You guys remember in Colorado 3 weeks ago, Devin Erickson and Alec McKinney, the two individuals that basically have been arraigned now, are in court for shooting up the school. Shot, I think, what, eight kids, killed one kid. And, you know, the media at first brought it up the day it happened. Another school shooting. We have another mass school shooting. Another all over CNN. Then all of a sudden it came out that the kid, one of them was transgender. They both hated Trump. They were both super hardcore Obama supporters. They also loved Satan, ran around spraying 666 on vehicles outside. I mean, complete and total demented weirdos. Hardcore Hillary and Obama supporters. All of a sudden, CNN, boom, silent. Wait, what a minute. Why'd they do that? Oh, they also didn't want to address the fact that these kids didn't go buy guns even with a background check. They didn't even go on the street and buy them at the gun show loophole that doesn't even exist. They broke into their parents' safe and stole handguns from their parents that they then took to school and shot up the school and were hardcore Hillary and Obama supporters, hated Trump, and were very, very renowned Satanists, and one of them being transgender. That's how weird these kids were. Well, now, you guys are going to like this. Now the public is not going to be able to see any of the proceedings or results to find out the motives behind the attacks or learn anything else about both of the attackers. Devin Erickson and Alec McKinney, they opened fire on two classes in science, technology, and math at charter school in Highland Ranch, Colorado on May 7th. The news broke, basically, now that the judge, Douglas County District Judge Teresa Slade, has put the charges along with the entire case file under seal, banning the public from seeing anything else that goes on with this case, including the verdict. On top of that, from what I have found out too, included with this, since everything is sealed, including both of their records, their medical records as well, completely sealed. Everything surrounding Devin Erickson and Alec McKinney and this shooting and this court proceeding, Everything has now been sealed by District Judge Teresa Slade. They don't want anybody to know what is going on. And what's ironic about this, and this just, I bring this up because I want to show you guys the narrative that they always want to put. You guys remember Nick Sandman, the 17-year-old high schooler that basically showed up at the school with their Christian group, and he was confronted by the Indian who got in his face and started banging on his drum, and the black Israelites started screaming profanities and racist comments at him. If you remember that whole thing, but they showed like a 5-second clip on CNN of this kid standing there with a MAGA hat on, smiling while the Indian got in his face, and they literally eviscerated him on mainstream media, to the point now that Nick Sandman is suing multiple media outlets for hundreds of millions of dollars for slander and libel. And so far, it looks like the cases are proceeding because of what they did to him. And in the media, for a week and a half, they butchered this 17-year-old kid for standing there with a smile on his face, wearing a Make America Great Again hat, and did nothing else until we saw the full video and saw what really happened. Yet we have two kids that are renowned Hillary and Obama supporters, profess Satanists and transgenders, steal firearms from their parents, go shoot up a school and have another mass shooting again, and it's completely off limits to mainstream media to the point that the judge has sealed the entire case and everything surrounding them, including the verdict. If that doesn't show you right there what a corrupt mainstream society, as far as the mainstream narrative, the judicial system, and the entire concept of the rule of law, how corrupted and controlled it is, I don't know what else to show you. I don't know what else to tell you. That is clear-cut evidence by any other means that we live in an unbelievably corrupt society, and they only want to show us what they want us to see that goes along with their narrative, Dad.
Oh, Austin, you're absolutely right, because once the mainstream media starts to say things that they're not supposed to say, the judge comes in and basically rules, I believe, inappropriately, and start sealing things up so we can't hear it. Look at Timothy McVeigh from Oklahoma City. We never heard him testify one time. We never heard him one time get interviewed on an outlet anywhere. I mean, it was shut. How about the guy over there in Aurora, Colorado? You know, the Batman shooting. What about all that? I mean, no one's ever talked to him. No one's ever heard him speak. And they have to make sure they seal it up. Look what Julian Assange did. Now they're basically going to charge Julian Assange. They're going to be hitting him, you know, with Espionage Act violations as our Department of Justice unveils 17 new charges. This is Donald Trump, the guy who admired Julian Assange, who helped get Donald Trump elected. The DOJ said with the indictment that Assange will face a maximum of 10 years for each of the 17 Espionage Act violations, plus the 5-year penalty for his earlier hacking charge. They're talking about putting him in jail for hundreds of years. This is a life sentence, if not a death sentence. And Donald Trump twiddles and fiddles. You know, it's so funny. I have a friend of mine who's a pastor who's basically, you know, still a big Trump supporter. And, you know, he won't pay attention to what's going on. And his whole response all the time is, it's better than Hillary. It's better than Hillary. And I'm like, dude, you're not paying any attention to what's going on. And then this morning, I sent out an email to a group of people, and I said, you know, and about people being banned. And there's one person who basically has been banned, who basically is still syndicated on multiple TV and radio shows. And I asked, I said, well, if he's being banned, why is he still syndicated? And of course, all blowback came back from this particular pastor about this particular individual. And finally, I asked this pastor, I said, you know, why in the world? I said, are you defending this guy? I said, this guy is a serial adulterer. He's an alcoholic. He uses God's name in vain repeatedly. He hangs out with perverts, and he's a liar. I said, why, as you as a pastor, are you defending him? Now, you know, you guys are thinking, well, you know, why is he? And you know what the response was? Smiley faces laughing. Then suddenly I got another response in, take me off your email list. I don't need to hear your information. Now, think about that for a second. Here we have a nationally known pastor who I've known for years. I've supported him for years. And all of a sudden now, because I ask him a simple question, why are you supporting a person who uses God's name in vain, a serial adulterer, an alcoholic? Why are you continuing to support and to defend this person? I mean, why? So, guys, I'm going to say this to everyone listening real quick. we have to support the people that we know are doing what's right. I had another person contact me today and ask me, you know, about certain people. And I said, look, I said, here's the deal. I said, I don't like phonies. I don't like phonies. I like people who do what they say they're going to do, who practice what they preach. And I said, I like people like Steve Quayle. I like Doug Hagman. I like Dave Hodges. I like Sheila. I like Coach Dave. I like Greg Hunter. I said, there are people out there. I like Catherine Austin Fitz. I said, there are people out there that I think are pretty doggone good. And I said, but there are a whole bunch of people out there in alternative media that just aren't that good. And they're compromised. And so why in the world do we think it's okay just to support people and to listen to people who are moral reprobates when we claim to be Christians? We got to ask ourselves these questions, guys. You know, we have to ask ourselves these questions. And if we don't ask ourselves these questions, how in the world do we get to a point where we actually understand what the answers are supposed to be? I mean, this is the thing that absolutely blows my mind. I mean, why are we continuing to play this circus show? Assange is being hit with 17 charges now, 170 years in prison. But the Q people believe that he's going to be now coming over and testifying against Mueller and everybody else and against Hillary. That ain't going to happen. The deep state is deeply in charge, and we've got to see who these people are, and we've got to call them out for who they are and what they do. I mean, this whole Trump Pelosi tirade and the heat, like you said, Austin, they're training insults as their feud heats up, and she acts like she's completely and totally nuts. And you think, what the heck, man? But the problem is, we've been so programmed for problem action solution, so programmed through Hegelian dialectic, and so programmed not to ask hard questions. Like, if somebody's really doing something wrong, why are they doing it wrong, and why do we think it's okay, and why do we need to continue to support them? I mean, why? So ask yourself these questions, and we have to realize that there's just a lot of people out there who aren't doing what they're saying they're going to do. So, guys, thank you for listening to us. Austin and I aren't like that. Now, I may offend the heck out of some people, but I'm not going to play the game. I'm not going to play the game. If I can't tell you guys what I believe to be the truth, if I can't tell you that some people out there are just not who they say they are, and, you know, the Bible says, and it's so funny, the Bible says we will know them by their fruits. We will know them by their fruits. And, guys, here's the thing. If we know that people are doing things that they're not supposed to do, now I'm not saying that any of us are perfect because we're not, but gee, sometimes, you know, you get people drunk online, using God's name in vain online. I mean, you know, hanging out with perverts online, and you're thinking, okay, should I really listen to anything these people say? They seem to be deeply morally and spiritually compromised. And guys, it's a pretty good reason to think about stuff like that, because these people – by the way, I want to apologize to you. I'm on a tear right now because I've been dealing with these emails all morning. Austin gets like this every once in a while. You get a bunch of negative emails, and you get frustrated. You know I'm right, Austin.
You get frustrated
because all I'm trying to do is say, hey, look, I can't call everybody when you ask me to call you. I can't do that. I mean, I may get 100 people a day asking me to call. I simply don't have time, okay? I don't have time. I have too much prep work to talk to all of you guys every day. I try to reach out. If it's an emergency, I'll call you back if I can help. Now, if I don't know you, okay, if you don't listen to the show and you don't get supplements and that kind of stuff, and I don't know you, why am I going to call you back because somebody gave you my number or somebody gave you my email or somebody's asking me to call you on a third-party consult? I don't want to be involved in any of that stuff because they don't work anyhow 99% of the time. People just don't want to listen. But now I'm going to completely change subjects right now because I'm being redundant. Here we are, 25 reasons to avoid the Gardasil vaccine. I'm just going to cover some of these, and this is something that you got to hear. This is from Robert Kennedy, and it's from the Children's Defense Fund. And this is a really good website, by the way, and it really goes into detail. Number one, a placebo, they used inappropriate placebos and comparisons in the clinical trials. It said, among girls and women who received the vaccine, among girls and women who received the AAHS, an astonishing 2.3% in both groups experienced conditions of systemic autoimmune disorder. Do you hear that? Had autoimmune disorder. They got unbelievably sick. That means 2 out of every 100. More than 2 out of that's ridiculous. Multiple scientific studies associate aluminum not just with autoimmune diseases, but with autism, Alzheimer's disease, dementia, Parkinson's disease. Merck lied to study participants, falsely saying that the clinical trials were not safety studies, that the vaccine had already been found to be safe, the placebo was not, was an inert saline source. Lies, straight lies. And this list goes on and on and on. I've got this posted at the Health Masters website. You guys can go back and read it. And it says annual deaths from cervical cancer in the U.S. are 2.3 per 100,000 girls. But yet 2.3% of the girls have autoimmune responses when they get this. The death rate in Gardasil clinical trials was 85 out of 100,000. The death rate, it was 37 times that of cervical cancer. In other words, it was 2.3 in 100,000 get cervical cancer and get deaths per year in the United States, and the deaths from Gardasil was 85 out of 100,000, 37 times greater risk to get the Gardasil vaccine. It says cervical cancer risk-benefit ratio is not worth it. And it goes on and on and on and on. So you guys read through these 25 reasons. I'm not going to take any more time on the show to do this. But guys, it's one of those things we've got to be so careful with what we believe and what we read and giving your children. And think about it for a second. If you're listening to the show and you've got kids and you decided not to give them the Gardasil shot, how incredibly blessed you are that you heard this information. How many people haven't heard it and their kids are having these horrible, horrible side effects? Austin, what do you think?
Oh, that's very well said. I mean, and that's one of the reasons why we're seeing such a health crisis in the United States. I just saw an article earlier here, and they said the millennials now, from health insurance data from 2017, is now showing millennials, especially older millennials, their late 20s, early 30s, are facing unprecedented levels of mental and physical illness. According to the report released in April by the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, millennials' sharp decline in health begins around the age of 27 and stands in stark contrast to the health of the preceding generation, Generation X, which was born in the mid-1960s. They said for 8 of 10 health conditions, millennials are experiencing double-digit increases in prevalence compared to what Generation Xers experienced at the same time, meaning the rates of mental health illness and physical health illness is more than double of what Generation Xers experienced at the exact same age and time. They said in the survey, over half, 54% of millennials responded reporting to have been diagnosed at least one serious chronic illness. Half! Over 54% in the survey. Results as the Hare poll for children ages 0 to 17, 54% of surveyed children had one or more chronic health conditions as well. Of the top 10 health problems affecting millennials, 6 are behavioral and mental health conditions, including major depression, psychotic conditions, substance abuse disorders, hyperactivity. Other ones as far as physical conditions include the top ones being hypertension, high cholesterol, Crohn's disease, and type 2 diabetes. Behavioral health conditions affect millennials more than the U.S. population as a whole. The study, which described major depression as the second most impactful condition on overall health for insured Americans, reported a 47% increase in depression among millennials and a 63% increase among adolescents. Harris Poll survey found that anxiety disorders were one of the three most common diagnosed among millennials as well. This is what we're currently seeing, and in my opinion, this is kind of multifaceted. We see a generation now that I'm technically involved in, sad as that is. I was born in 88. All the millennials are basically born, you know, pretty much mid-80s and further. We were essentially, not me personally, but this generation has essentially grown up on almost a fully just processed food. I mean, completely processed food. Everything is processed, loaded with pesticides, loaded with herbicides, loaded with chemicals, loaded with antibiotics, loaded with hormones. You name it, it's pretty much been the sickest food generation, period. That's one factor. The second factor is this also, too, has been one of the most aggressive vaccine, actually is the most aggressive vaccine generations that we have ever seen at all. As you guys know, I mean, we if you look back at the numbers on it, even back in the mid-80s, the early mid-80s, there were only roughly 7 vaccines that were administered to young children. 7 different vaccines, that's it, it's all. By 18 now, the CDC currently says these children should be at 76 vaccines. That's the current CDC mandate. Then you start factoring in the fluoride in the water, and then you start factoring in the entire generation of coddling about everything. It doesn't matter what happens. You basically need your Play-Doh and your safe space and your petting dog, and you don't want to be triggered. And all this political correct nonsense, and now these kids are coming down with anxiety and depression for simply just being alive. Oh, he disagreed with me. He can't do that. I need my safe space now. You can't disagree with me. I'm a millennial. That's how most of them act. It's really embarrassing, quite frankly, that I've gotten wrapped up in this group. It really is. And we see this happening more and more and more now. So these reports now, they're saying this is the sickest generation, period. The health issues, the anxiety issues, the depression issues are through the roof. Absolutely. So then you start seeing what you can do. Because, you know, if there's a problem, there's got to be some type of solution. My question of this is, how can we help fix it? A, change the diet of this millennial generation. If you're in my age group or you have kids in my age group, encourage them. I mean, there was a research study that was done at the University of California at Berkeley School of Public Health last year that I talked about. I'm going to reiterate it again. In the study, it built previous studies conducted around the world. Researchers looked at 16 people who were part of four different families that were geographically and demographically diverse. They tested selected pesticides in the urine, tests from independent labs during their 6 days on a conventional diet showed the presence of 40 different pesticides in their urine. These people were then placed on a full organic food diet. When the researchers either purchasing the organic food or everything on the family shopping list to ensure they ate only those foods and having a licensed chef prepare the meals, it's a very strict research study. Just 6 days later on the organic meal, their overall pesticide levels had dropped 61%. The organic phosphates had dropped almost 70%, the chlorofluoros had dropped 61%, and malathion dropped 95% in the urine. Also, the herbicide 2,4-D fell by 37%. This was being on a fully organic diet for 6 days, less than a full week. This is how far their pesticide levels drop. So you want to know why the millennials are one of the sickest generation? This is why. One of the factors in. You think about it. The individuals that were Generation Xers that they claim, you know, back in the 60s they were born, the exposure to these foods in their early years and adolescent years was minimal. There wasn't a lot of pesticides being sprayed in the 60s on all the food crops. Glyphosate wasn't being so done prevalently. Now, they had this stuff out. Some of this stuff was floating around, but it wasn't to the extent that it is now. And so when you see there's such an impact, especially on children and adolescents, when they grow up eating this food, this is why, in my opinion, they push the vaccines at such a young age. They know that the health effects that are going to be had from these vaccines, including Crohn's disease, including all these autoimmune deficiencies, including all these different allergies, are highly prevalent. As Pat just said, the HPV vaccine has an 85 out of 100,000 death rate from the vaccine alone, where cervical cancer is only 2 out of 100,000 as far as death rate. They know these numbers. They're not idiots. They know what these things do. And I have said repeatedly over and over and over again, my personal opinion, one of the toxic reasons for the vaccines being pushed so hard is to increase the profits of the medical industrial complex and keep more people from birth until death wrapped up in the medical industrial complex their entire life. And what an easier way to do that is start saying from 6 months old, you have to start injecting them with vaccines. I've told people this before. You can do your own research. Even if you think, yes, I want to give my child some vaccines, that's your choice. That's your choice. But understand that even a child's immune system and its ability to actually fight off these antigens and actually produce antibodies doesn't even start to occur till around a year and a half to 2 years. The immune system's not even developed. I mean, that's old research. So injecting a newborn baby with a hepatitis B vaccine produces no plausible reasoning whatsoever, especially when you know the mother's not Hep B positive. And in most cases you look at, the mom's not Hep B positive, and they still inject that little baby with a hepatitis B right at birth for no legitimate purpose. You have to understand that. Why in the world would you inject a newborn infant with a hepatitis B vaccine that you know is not going to have any positive effect when the mother, on top of that, is not Hep B positive? There is no legitimate purpose whatsoever. You don't have to be an anti-vaxxer or a pro-vaccine or anything to realize there is no legitimate purpose for that, because they even say that Hep B vaccine. They even proven their own clinical research. It provides no significant protection from hepatitis B after about a year. So it's not like they get this hepatitis B shot at birth and boom, you're completely immune to hepatitis B the rest of your life. If they did that, I still wouldn't like it, but I'd say, okay, if they can show 100% guarantee that you would never, ever get hepatitis B, no matter how much you were exposed to it the rest of your life, if you had it at birth, 100% guarantee, you'd be like, eh, okay. It's not. It's zero. It's good for like 6 months. And if the mom's not hepatitis B positive, what's the point? So this is what you have to start looking at. And now we have in Minnesota now, excitingly enough, whether or not this will go anything with that liberal group up there, but Minnesota now, multiple legislators have introduced four separate solutions aimed at restoring the provisions once contained in the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act. I did not realize this, but originally, when the Childhood Vaccine Injury Act in 1986 was put into place, they actually, after a certain amount of time going through the vaccine courts, people were still allowed to actually go back and sue the vaccine manufacturers if they went through like 50 different hoops. It was really hard to do. They, of course, got rid of that in 2011 under Obama. I did not realize this. But I'll read the article here. This is a really interesting article from Ethan Huff. In 1986, there were seven vaccines that were administered to American children in total. Seven. Yet there were so many catastrophic injuries and death caused by this mild schedule that the vaccine manufacturers threatened to stop producing vaccines due to the large damage awards that they were ordered to pay when people were injured, stated Representative Jerry Munson. He said, so the pharmaceutical industry lobbied heavily to Congress and, of course, got Reagan to capitulate to pass the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act in 1986. This unprecedented law established a compensation program administered by the government, funded by tax, that was to compensate those who were killed or harmed by vaccines via taxpayer funds. When this was first enacted, the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act also provisioned that vaccine injury or vaccine killed petitioners who did not receive a proper judgment within a 240-day window or were not simply satisfied with the judgment they received from the National Compensation Fund could withdraw completely from the program at their own accord and sue the vaccine manufacturers directly in civil court. Now, this is a very risky move because once you did this, you had to sign off basically saying you could no longer come back to the vaccine court, the original vaccine court, and ever get anything back again, ever, period. When you signed off on this, you were done. You could never go, even if you got vaccines, got injured again, or another child got vaccine, you were done. You were signed off on it. And you had to go on your own dime and essentially go to sue these guys in civil court, which can be very difficult because you have to have some deep, deep, deep pockets. However, to make it even worse, this provision was removed in 2011 by Obama, his Supreme Court, ruling in the Browich-Weiss case, which meaning that the vaccine injured and vaccine killed had zero option at their disposal to ever seek justice from the manufacturers of these vaccines outside of the vaccine court, which we know now is unbelievably difficult. I think they said in like, what is it, like 2 out of 100, like a 2% case that actually get paid, and in most cases those take on average like 3 to 5 years to get any type of winnings from the vaccine court. And I mean, it's very, very difficult. And so he goes on to say, now Senator Albert says how torturous the route is to actually get a claim resolved. We're in the world where the Department of Health calls vaccines exceedingly safe, yet I think there is nothing further from the truth. So what they're planning on doing is, in this bill, they're trying to add the provision back in that allows people after 240 days to go after the vaccine manufacturers in civil court, the ruling that was basically brought down in 2011 that blocked that. So these are the things you have to ask yourself a question. Why are they doing this, and who benefits? These are the questions you have to ask yourself, and it's so important that you do, because this is what we bring about on the show, is critical thinking. Don't just listen to what I have to say. Don't just listen to what Dad has to say. But go and do your own research and look at the research and make your own decision on it, and do not follow the mainstream narrative, because as I showed you guys at the beginning of the show, the difference between the teenager wearing the MAGA hat that they eviscerated for weeks on end on CNN for simply standing there, there. And the mainstream narrative of these two kids being transgender, stealing guns from their parents, being Obama supporters, and shooting up a school gets completely blacklisted on mainstream media now, and is now sealed from the court. You see, when the mainstream media, it does not follow the narrative that they're told to tell you, they blacklist it, shut it down, and make sure nobody sees it. So do your own research, come to your own conclusion, and read, and figure out what it is you truly believe on the stance. And that's why us here at Health Masters, Dad and I, we do the best we can to bring you really unbiased research, just straight up research from a critical thinking standpoint. This is what it says. Why does it say this? What does this mean? And why do you need to understand it, Dad?
Well, same thing I just mentioned a minute ago. I ask a pastor friend, why do you continue to defend this show host who uses God's name in vain repeatedly, who basically is a serial adulterer, who stays drunk on the show and hangs out with perverts? Why do you defend him? That's critical thinking. You know, we've got to ask ourselves the question, who told you to believe what you believe? Who programmed you that way? And that these are the questions that I ask myself all the time. You know, I'll have a behavioral paradigm that I've had for many, many years, and I start looking at it. I'm just going to give an example, all right? I was a hardcore Zionist for many years, huge pro-Israel guy. I was. I taught it. I mean, I was pro-Israel, pro-Zionism. Then finally, one day, someone said to me, have you read what the Babylonian Talmud says about Christians? And I'm like, well, no. They said, why are you promoting this? And I said, well, because my pastor promoted it. But then my response was, well, what does it say? Oh, yeah, that started it all. And then I started realizing that Jesus is a demon-possessed sorcerer. The Virgin Mary was a whore. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't believe this. Why am I promoting this? And then I started finding it's tied into Kabbalah and tied into witchcraft and tied into gematria. And I'm saying, what the heck, man? And then I find out about the Scofield Bible. Oh, look, that was in Samuel Untermeyer and you know, his promotion of the Federal Reserve Act and promotion of Zionism and his declaring war on Germany in 1933. And I said, whoa, stop. It was like information overload, Austin. And it took me about 6 years to really figure out who and what in the world was going on. And all of a sudden I thought, wow, was I wrong? See, this is critical thinking. You've got to be able to ask yourself a question. Why? If you see me on a TV show and I weigh 400 pounds or I got a giant gut hanging over my belly and, you know, and I'm drunk and I'm using God's name in vain and I'm telling everybody I'm a Christian and I'm a health guy, you're going to be like, what the heck? Critical thinking skills, and they're not being taught in schools anymore. We're not asking ourselves why. I mean, I asked that pastor this morning. Now he basically told me not to email him again, which is fine. I don't mind. I got enough other people to talk to. Good grief. So I'm okay with that. But think about it for a second. Here's a person who's a national leader who won't even look at what's really going on and what's really happening and refuses to see it. Why is that? It's because of the cultural paradigms. It's because of normalcy bias. It's because they refuse to look at what they believe and why they believe it. Russia Today had an interesting article here. It said, cultural schizophrenia ties right into this. The media is now shifting feelings over facts, and it's tearing the United States apart. This is what they're doing with the vaccines. This is all Tavistock programming. This is all Hegelian dialectic. This is all, you know, what happens with problem action solution. This is who these guys are. Cultural schizophrenia, media shift to feelings over facts. Well, let's not talk about all of these children that are dying from the Gardasil shot. You've got to be immunized. Why can't we talk about the kids that are dying? No. And listen to this. Here's Rand again. He likes to bring us Hegelian dialectic and all the rest of it. Over the past several years, the U.S. media has shifted towards advocacy and emotional appeals, according to the RAND Corporation. There they are again. This is sowing a discord in American society. See, RAND Corporation is in the middle of this, doing it, and they're promoting this now. It is sowing discord in American society, award-winning journalist Chris Hedges tells RT. The study released by RAND earlier this week cautiously argues that between 1987 and 2017, news content in these 20 years has shifted from event and context-based reporting to coverage that is more subjective, relies more heavily on argumentation and advocacy, and includes more emotional appeals. See, hear what they're saying? They're not dealing with facts anymore. While primetime cable news shows that online journalism led the way in this shift, it has been noticed in print journalism as well. The government-funded think tank concluded this is contributing to what Rand termed truth decay, which they helped promote, by the way, described as a shift away from facts and analysis in public disclosure. Why is the U.S. always stumbling or sliding into war? How the media misleads the language. This goes on to talk about this. It says they have given, it says cable news networks, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, have given up on journalism, Hedges told RT, commenting on the Rand report. They replaced it with a reality show. That's what I said. That's what it is. Reality shows, news programs centered around the U.S. President Donald Trump and his tweets in the Russiagate. There has been a complete walking away from journalism and the true facts. Like, why is Julian Assange being charged with 17 felonies for 170 years in prison by the Trump administration? The award-winning international correspondent for several major newspapers who now hosts On Contact, a weekly interview on RT America, had just argued that the deterioration of American media landscape is far worse than the report suggests. He says commercial structure that created the old media is gone, and it has eviscerated journalism within the country because it is not sustainable. We saw it with the collapse of the classified advertising, which was 40% of the newspaper's revenues. It is not sustainable economically any longer, Hedges said. This has led to the demise of newspapers, both local broadsheets and major powerhouses like the Philadelphia Inquirer. Meanwhile, the internet media has created a free-for-all space where people are ghettoized into groups with particular belief systems or conspiracy theories they happen to embrace or support. It is difficult to tell apart facts and opinion now, and people believe whatever they want to believe, Hedges explained, without looking at the facts or the reality of the situation. We spent years watching CNN and MSNBC promoting the conspiracy theory that Trump was a Kremlin agent. It was all garbage, but it attracted viewers and gave them more revenue for their dollars from their advertisers. When journalism no longer uses and is based on facts, it becomes near impossible for the public to untangle what is true and what is false. Because it creates cultural schizophrenia. Noting that he observed this during the collapse of Yugoslavia in the 1990s, when the media drove antagonisms and hatreds between ethnic groups. Similar things are happening in the U.S. right now. Right-wing media demonizing Bernie Sanders. We don't do that. And Barack Obama. We don't do him. We call him the gay Kenyan. No, he's just a joke. By comparing them to Hitler, never did that. And left-wing media labeled all Trump supporters as racist and deplorables. It creates social fragmentation and discord. These schisms could lead to civil unrest. That is what happens here. That's exactly what they're doing. I told you that earlier this week. They're setting us up for a civil war. This is what they want. Their models, their economic models of their advertising, of their marketing no longer works. Remember we had that show Entertainment Tonight and all these different things that came out 20, 25 years ago. These different tabloid TV shows at night. That's what the news has turned into. That's why when you start asking real questions, why do you believe this? Why are you supporting this person? Why are you doing this? Here are the facts. Take me off your data list. Take me off your email list. Why? Because people don't want to hear the truth. Because the truth will set them free. And I'm talking pastors, too. Chuck Baldwin has got himself eviscerated by stuff he's been writing. I mean eviscerated. You know, I love Chuck Baldwin. I think he's great. Now, do I agree with everything Chuck says? Absolutely not. Sometimes do I think he's gone too far? Yes. Sometimes I think he says stuff that he shouldn't say. It doesn't make any difference. I agree with 90% of what he says anyhow. He's my friend. I'm going to support him. But the reality is, he documents and quotes everybody with what he says that he believes. And then he tells you why he believes what he believes. And he's come under tremendous criticism for this. You know, Gerald Celente got under criticism. You know, Steve Quayle's been under criticism. I've been under criticism. Doug's been under criticism. When you go out and you step on a line and you say, hey, look, I'm not going to believe the narrative anymore because the narrative may not be true. I've got to analyze this. Like, why am I supporting Zionism? Why am I promoting this? And this is me 10 years ago. Why am I promoting this? Why am I thinking this is okay? And finally, I started to realize when I started doing the research, hey, wait a minute. You know, this isn't okay. We can't think something's bad, something that is bad is good, and try to convince ourselves otherwise. It's so important that we understand this, guys. If you claim to be a born-again Christian, if you claim to love Jesus with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your mind, if you claim that you want to walk with Christ for the rest of your life, you need to kind of try. And you certainly don't need to be out on mainstream media or alternative media using filthy language and saying things you shouldn't ought to say. I mean, you got to think through all of this stuff, guys. And this right, he's right. This whole article's right on Russia Today. I posted it on our website. It causes schizophrenia in the culture. No one knows who to believe anymore because there's so many stories out there that just absolutely just lie. They're straight. They're fabrication. They're clickbait. You know, it's like, you know, you see a thing pop up, say, how to win the lottery every time. Wow, that sounds interesting. You click on it. It has nothing to do with the lottery. They're trying to collect your data, your information, your name, your phone number, your date of birth, all of this stuff. And they'll ask you all these questions. Oh, by the way, we need to get your name real quick. Okay, well, okay, now we need this. It's all lies. And see, and this is what we found. This is what we find ourselves into now. We found that we have groups of people out there that are completely and totally misrepresenting who and what they are and what they believe in social media and pretending to be something that they're not. I've got to be careful what I say. I know people out there right now, if I find out they're involved in stuff, I disassociate because I don't want to be involved with these people that are grifters, Ponzi people, I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff that I've seen. And if you know me personally, you know what I'm talking about. So I do the best I possibly can to avoid all of that. I just try my best to teach you guys right. Now, this, by the way, I'm going to say something real quick. I'm constantly contacted by people wanting to advertise on the show because it's so big now. I turn them down. I say, no, we don't do that. If I like your product, I may say something about your product, but you're not going to pay me. Doug Hagman had this happen years ago. He was selling advertising on his show, making good money with it. And then they came to him and they said, you can't talk about this, this, and this anymore. And he goes, well, why not? He goes, well, because it offends part of our listenership, and we don't like it when you talk about this, this, and this. And Doug says, well, you can't tell me what I can and can't say. Yeah, we are. We're going to pull our advertising if you don't do what we say. And he said, I'm not going to listen to you. And they pulled their advertising. I'm not putting myself in that position. I'm not putting you in that position. Guys, I'm not going to do it. That's why Healthmasters bought this entire clock. And because of your guys' support of us, we don't have to sell an ad every 3 or 4 minutes trying to pay for the show. And it's so important that everybody understands who they're listening to and why they're listening to us. I'm going to tell you something I've never told you before. I had another major network contact me before I started the show 5 years ago on Global Star. And they wanted me to basically be on their network. But they were going to require that I gave them the ability to control the clock and their advertisers. And they were going to require that I was going to let them have other people promoting nutrition products on my show that I wasn't even familiar with. I'd never even seen. And I said, I won't do that. And I said, well, we require this. You're not going to have a choice. You have to do this. You have to do what we tell you to do as far as your advertisers. But we'll give you the first 6 months without having to take these other ads. But then you have to take all of our ads that we put on your show. And I said, no, no, pound salt. No, not going to do that. I'm not going to promote somebody else's product that may be contaminated with lead. I don't know what they are in these products. I'm not going to do that. See, and this is what we all have to do. We've all got to take a stand, and we've got to believe what we're going to believe. And we've got to do what we're going to do based upon the Word of God and upon our own personal convictions. And that's why when you guys send me all these wonderful letters and you tell me how much you appreciate us and you love us and we love you guys, and I have the opportunity to pray for you again this morning, it means the world to me. And I mean that sincerely, because I know that for some point in time here, that God gave this show to you guys and you guys to us to support one another, to help each other. I don't know why. I don't know why he did this for me in Austin, why we have such a big following, why we have such a big show. I don't know. To be honest with you, it kind of blows my mind. But it's because we try our best, I know this in the spirit, to tell you guys the truth, and I'll always put you guys first. All right. I'm done. Austin, you go ahead. I'll do the write-up. I'll talk to you guys on Monday. I love you guys. Have a great weekend. Austin, the show's yours.
Absolutely. Also, too, some more health food topics, because I told you guys I had a lot of health articles this week I want to get to you, because I'm trying to do the best I can to get people informed and healthy, because it doesn't matter how great intentions you have, what you want to do, how strong you want to be, if you don't start implementing those things in your life, like changing your diet, exercising some, drinking purified water, all those different things, it's all dreams. And dreams are great, but you have to implement the actions in order to achieve those goals. Another study I found as well, talking about new study confirms junk food actually takes years off your life. Prince researchers looked at nearly 45,000 healthy middle-aged people to determine the risk of consuming junk food. They measured their intake of more than 3,000 foods categorized into four groups. They found that those who ate more ultra-processed food had a higher risk of death. Specifically, they found that an increase of 10% in the amount of junk food a person consumes is associated with a 14% increase in the risk of death from a non-communicable disease within 8 years. They found this link still existed even after accounting for factors such as age, gender, smoking, physical activity levels, educational background, and obesity. This was published in the JAMA of Internal Medicine. This goes to show you how important it is as far as the food we put in our body. The ultra-processed foods like the processed soups, the deli meats, the packaged cookies and chips and snacks and stuff high in sugar and high in saturated fat and with the sodium nitrite and a lot of the processed meat and the artificial sweeteners and all the drinks now as well, which I've told you guys so many times before, the artificial sweeteners, especially like Splenda or sucralose, always look on the back of these drinks. See so many people drinking drinks now, and they have sucralose in them. Every time people hand me like a sports drink or something, like, hey, you want to try this? I said, let me look at it. I'll look at it. 99% of the time, it's got sucralose in it, which changes your gut bacteria. It raises your risk of diabetes and other illnesses and causes premature mortality. Also, it causes your kidneys to calcify. Sucralose is one of the most toxic substances that I have ever seen put in the food supply. And I've researched this with Dad for the last 15 years. Sucralose is a chlorocarbon. It is a pesticide. It is unbelievably toxic what it does to the gut. Stay away from it. Stay away from the ultra-processed food as much as possible. Now, a lot of people go, man, Austin, sometimes I'm going to go out to a restaurant, or sometimes I'm going to go out to a fast food joint. You know, maybe I do it once every 2 or 3 months, and I'm going to go, well, do what you got to do. You got to do what you got to do is best for you. But understand as well, if you're going to do that, stay away from the monster food, giant, big gulp, mega burgers that they have now. A lot of people think when they go out, oh, I'm going to go have a cheat meal or something, they have to stuff in as many calories as they physically can into one sitting. A study published in the British Medical Journal found that oversized meals at restaurants are contributing significantly to obesity. They researched, weighed, and measured the energy content of 221 popular meals served by 111 randomly selected sit-down restaurants and fast food outlets. The researchers found that 94% of the most popular main dishes served in sit-down restaurants and 72% of those purchased over-the-counter fast foods had over 600 calories for just the main meal. So if you're going to go out and do that, eat something small or split a burger if you're going to do it on a rare occasion. Eat a clean, tight meal. Don't go binge out on 1,000, 1,500 calories, which is easy to do. I mean, you go to Steak and Shake. I remember when I used to work at Steak and Shake in college. You get the, the Long Island sandwich, I think it was something like that. A Thousand Island sandwich. 1,200 calories for the Thousand Island patty melt. 1,200 calories. I mean, insane. So be aware of that, guys. Thank you for all the support. Thank you for all the emails we get. Be sure to check out the website. The Cortisol Buster on sale right now, along with the Alpha Lipoic Acid as product of the week. And as well, we have the CBD oil, our organic hemp-derived CBD oil, back in stock at healthmasters.com. Be sure to check that out. An incredibly good product for inflammation, pain. Also, too, helps you sleep great at night. Be sure to check that out on the website. Thank you for your support. I'll talk to you guys again on the Hagmann Report tonight. You have a blessed, safe weekend. Stay prepared. Stay healthy. Stay ready. I'll talk to you again Mondays as always.